Rapture is now. And welcome to the SBK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fade.
My name's Charles Story. I will be your host the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the City of London, so let's get down to business. Today is Friday, the 24th of November, 2017. Bitcoin is currently trading at $8,182, which is up 1% in the last 24 hours. Ethereum is currently at $422, which is up 7% in the last 24 hours. Woof! Come on, the Ether! Ripple is at 24 cents, which is up 2%, and Litecoin is at $74, which is up 3%. The current market cap of Bitcoin is $258 billion, with Bitcoin's dominance at 53% of that. Impressive numbers, building daily is what we like to see. Let's get on to the next part of the show.
Crypto News Flash. Crypto news stories from around the world.
The first story today is a news article, and while I'm reading through it, I'm also going to be commenting on some of the stories that they're talking about in a negative manner. So let's go through this. Bitcoin account holder loses $100,000 over public wireless network. An identified 36-year-old man who owns a Bitcoin account has lost more than 100,000 euros, $117,000 worth of Bitcoins while he's logged in to a public wireless network in a restaurant in Vienna, Austria. The Austrian police, however, claim that they are still investigating whether the victim's account was already hacked before he opened his account on the unsecured network, CBS reports. This latest case reflects the growing concern over the security of digital currencies like Bitcoin and Ethereum amidst their growing popularity as a mode of payment. Perhaps the most infamous loss of Bitcoin due to security issues took place in 2014 when the Bitcoin exchange Mt. Gox has collapsed following a breach on its platform and a significant amount of cryptocurrencies were stolen. That is true. In all remarks, but what also happened was, which sucks for everyone who was holding bitcoins. Let's say your bitcoin was worth $200 at the time of this hack. Everyone was paid back the dollar amount, but what happened was Mt. Gox held a percentage of the bitcoins because they were able to recover. I think it was 800,000 of them. But as we all know, Bitcoin price has just gone up in value. So say if you were holding $200 worth of bitcoin, which could have been one bitcoin, it could have been two bitcoins, so on and so forth. You only got given back the dollar amount at the time of the hack, which a lot of people are angry about because let's say you held a substantial amount of Bitcoin, you don't get the upside of that, which sucks. But and actually, they made $1 billion profit from the back of that. So that's another story which I told on a podcast a couple of weeks ago. Check it out. And let's carry on the story. So the exchange's former CEO, Mark, is currently being tried in Japan on charges of data manipulation and embezzlement. Other cases of security breaches. In mid-2017, the biggest Bitcoin and Ethereum exchange is in South Korea, Bithum, was also assaulted by hackers and stole cryptocurrencies worth an estimated $1.2 billion won or more, which equates to around $1 million. And by the way, that was done by North Korean hackers. So that wasn't because they made a mistake. That's because they had these North Korean hackers after them, and they breached the security there. A man from Pennsylvania has also admitted that he stole $40 million worth of bitcoins just recently. I haven't heard about that story, to be honest with you. Crypto crimes. Despite these incidents, the digital currencies continue to increase in popularity among investors because of this. Ethereum price, for example, has already surged by 2,600% in just a matter of months, from just $8.17 in early 2017. The leading cryptocurrency Bitcoin, meanwhile, has increased to over $8,000 so far from $1,027 earlier in the year. What a trade. I mean, can we just take time to appreciate that? So had you invested in January, one Bitcoin cost you $1,027. I repeat, $1,027. I mean, and it's now trading at like $8,182. I mean, what a trade. 2017 has been the year for crypto to get on the map. I mean, 2017 has been the year. We're seeing so much news flow. So take you back to January. I mean, it just hadn't popped then. You know, it's just really been ramping up 2017. At the end, so December, I wouldn't be surprised if we see kind of 8,000, 9,000 price range of this. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if it's that $9,000 mark. I really wouldn't. I mean, what a year so far we've had in the crypto world. So during trading in New York, November 21st, 2017, the Bitcoin price had reached the new record high of $8,339, despite earlier losses in the day due to the reported $31 million theft of Tether. Woof, what a story, what a story. With that in mind, let's get on to the next part of the show. Second story today is going over adoption. So let's get into the story here. Dan Bilzerian, son of Wall Street takeover expert Paul Bilzerian, has recently disclosed his cryptocurrency portfolio distribution over Twitter. While the disclosure includes which coins he owns, it does not indicate what percentage of the portfolio overall is in crypto. So let's get into it. So this is his tweet. For everyone asking, I have 50% Bitcoin, 25% Ether, 15% Monero, and 10% Bitcoin Cash. And to give you some background, he bought into this in May. So Dan Bilzerian has had a home run with this with these positions. I have no indication of how much he actually has in crypto, but that's his percentage breakdown of his portfolio. So he's been making some money. And if you check him out on Instagram, he's always going on holiday. So I guess the crypto money's been helping him out there. The poker player has been recently in the news for a variety of events, but the disclosure of crypto holdings indicates widespread adoption for the market. Other bulls. The news is not surprising, though, given the nature of the market, as Bitcoin price has recently risen and stayed over $8,000 and the overall crypto market cap is now over $250 billion. Most recently, Tom Lee's prediction, Tom Lee, by the way, is the co-founder of Litecoin, prediction of Bitcoin as a strong buy at current prices, as well as the substantial bullish commentary by investor Mark Yusko, who recently indicated a long-term projection of $400,000 per Bitcoin, indicate that the mainstream market is growing. With the addition of Bitcoin futures on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, CME, growth will only continue. Woohoo! We love adoption, and we love the bullish commentary. So keep the good work up. Let's get on to the next story. The third story today is a fantastic story, once again about adoption, but in a much higher caliber of light. So let's get into the story here. So the approval of the defense spending bill, called the National Defense Authorization Act, NDAA, may lead to the mainstream adoption of blockchain technology by government agencies in the US. This is because the bill has a provision called the Modernization Government Technology Act, MGT, that will allow the agencies to redirect their cost savings into internal working capital funds that can be utilized to modernize their IT systems. According to Information Technology to Industry Council Senior Vice President of Public Sector, wow, what a title, Trey Hodgkins, the US Congress wants the various agencies to have their own discretion on how to invest their savings. Blockchain was clearly one of the technological capabilities that Congress meant for agencies to look at. And what they were trying to do was create dollars for some flexibility to them so that agencies would have their own discretion on what they want to invest in. Brief details on the bill and the opinions of some industry players. Under the MGT provision, government agencies are authorized to spend their working capital funds for modernization initiatives falling in three categories, namely migrating legacy systems to the cloud service, cybersecurity, and innovative and disruptive technologies and platforms. Although it was not categorically stated in the bill, blockchain technology is qualified as a potential direction for the allocation of funds for further advancement beyond the proof of concept stage at the agency level. According to hybrid blockchain database provider TromaWay's Todd Miller, they're excited about the MGT Act due to its promotion of new technologies such as smart contracts and blockchain. We're excited about the MGT because it provides incentives to federal agencies to move away from high-cost, low-performing legacy systems toward new technologies like blockchain and smart contracts. The NDAA has or was already approved by both the House of Representatives and the Senate as of late November 2017, and is just awaiting the signature from none other than US President Donald Trump to finally become law. We love it. Another great story about the adoption. Let's get on to the next part of the show.
Top Twitter tweet of the day.
To kick things off, we're going to start the top Twitter tweet from Joseph Young, and you can go follow him at I Am Joseph Young. And here's the tweet: Bitcoin price surpasses $8,500 in South Korea, the third largest Bitcoin market behind US and Japan. Last week, South Korean cryptocurrency exchange Bithumb processed 2x in daily trading volume of South Korean stock exchange, KOSDAQ, What a tweet. It just shows how crazy people are in South Korea for the Bitcoin. We love that. Let's get on to the second tweet. And the second tweet is from Bitcoin News. And you can go follow them at BTCTN. And here's the tweet. President of Belarus expected to sign decree to legalize cryptocurrencies. Boom. Another powerful tweet. Go follow them both. Great tweeters. Have a lot of content, especially Bitcoin News. And Joseph Young has very thought out content that's very related to the crypto space. Just like 15 minutes of crypto fame. Let's get on to the next part of the show.
SBK's current global crypto view.
Woo! To kick things off, we're going through some analysis on Qlink, which is an ICO that's just been announced that's coming out. And this is a really interesting ICO. So let's go through the details here. The project name is Qlink. The token symbol is going to be QLC. The hard cap is 40,000 Ether plus 100,000 NEO. Okay, so the conversion rate is 1 Ether equals 4,000 QLC. So the ICO market cap, if on a fully diluted basis, is going to be $49 million, assuming current Ether price of $400 and NEO price of $35. Bonus structure 10% for pre-sale, strong. Whitelist is currently going on at present. The blockchain this is going to be performed on, which is interesting, is the NEO. The NEO protocol, which is the NEP-5 protocol. And this is really interesting because they've only done one ICO on this blockchain prior to this one, and it did successfully. It was super successful. It sold out in like 10 minutes, and I believe it went up like 15x in the first week. So it's super interesting. A lot of hype around NEO, and it's very interesting because they're the Chinese Ethereum. So what does the project do? Qlink aims to decentralize mobile network by offering telecom services such as decentralized Wi-Fi sharing, repackaged mobile data for content distribution, decentralized E2P SMS service, and hardware Wi-Fi sharing hub. So, Qlink will also build its own blockchain using NEO's NEP-5 protocol. Qlink chain contains digital content, data traffic, billing information, and user visit records. Users will be able to deploy smart contracts between telecoms, current producers, IoT terminal, and enterprises, which is fantastic. So, the team, let's have a look at the team here. The team, so the Qlink team worked together on UU Mobile, which was founded by Ellen Lee in 2012. It has received tens of millions of CNY of funding from Alibaba Capital in a Series B round, which is fantastic, which shows potential. So the CEO is Ellen Lee, co-founder and co-CEO, founder of UU Mobile, former software engineer at Huawei, multiple patent owner. Okay, so that shows she's obviously quite technical, got a track record to some degree, which is great to see. The second is Susan Zha. And she's a co-founder and co-CEO, director of Rodum Capital, former business development director of Augentus, and senior private equity analyst of Bloomberg. Woo! The third advisor of Qlink include Xi Shahang, co-founder of Alibaba, Li Wei, founder of Pine VC, and Liu Honglang, founder of UT Starcom, and New York Stock Exchange listed global telecom infrastructure provider. Opportunities. So the team, strong team and advisors in place. The team founded UU Mobile, which is the mobile data space, and received significant amount of VC funding with the connections of the team and advisors. And companies should be able to open dialogues with different telecoms and gain traction. So that's pretty cool. Our concerns for this thus far are as follows. So the main concern is Qlink needs to work with a lot of different telecoms and form partnerships with them. Telecos are typically large companies that are slow to change. It may take a long time to implement a new model as radical as Qlink's. The project goal is ambitious, offering many different services, sharing Wi-Fi, mobile data, SMS service, mobile app, hardware development, etc. This is not easy to pull off. The MVP is not until the end of the year, which makes Qlink a white paper project at present. And that's kind of my concerns there. A conclusion, what are we looking at here? So for flipping, there is potential in the pre-sale. We're neutral on this still at the minute. So for flipping, on one hand, the circulating market cap is on the low side and the team is strong with successful startup experience and relevant industry experience and been in the industry before. On the other hand, QRC tokens may not be tradable that quickly because it is built on the NEO blockchain and not an ERC20 token. Also note that the tokens purchased by strategic investors who contributed 10,000 ETH will be unlocked 1 month after they are distributed, which will cause selling pressure. Long-term hold, we're also neutral. The project is very ambitious, providing many different services and involving software and hardware development, as well as partnerships with many telcos. The more ambitious a project is, the higher chance it will fail. Oof. So that's a wrap. I got to bounce. I'm going to be back with you guys on Monday. Like us. Subscribe, share us with your crypto community. Get the good word of SVK Crypto out there. I gotta bounce. Have a fantastic weekend.
You've been listening to an SVK Crypto podcast original. Follow us on Twitter at SVK_crypto. Email us on cstory@svkcrypto.com. Leave us a message on our website, www.svkcrypto.com.